Thank you, David, and thank all of you this morning for being here. It is a great day to honor God, a great day for us to remember a number of things this morning. I don't know how many of you have problems with your memory. Anyone? How many of you remember that you have a memory? Well, on a car trip one time, an old couple stopped at a roadside restaurant for lunch. And the older woman, unfortunately, left her glasses on the table. Maybe some of you experienced that. I don't know. But she didn't miss them until they were way on down the road. By then, they had to travel quite a distance to even turn around. You know how it is on the interstate. But they finally made the turn around. Well, the old man, her husband, fussed and complained all the way back to the restaurant. I mean, he was livid. He was upset. But when they finally arrived and the older woman got out of the car to retrieve her glasses, the old man said, "Well, while you're in there, get my hat also." Well, we all have problems sometimes with our memory. And you know, when it comes to Memorial Day, many of us have problems with our memory. I want us to talk this morning about the subject of Memorial Day. It is a time for us to remember those who gave their lives. They are lost, but not forgotten. They are. And I hope we will remember them this morning. And I hope that we'll remember them tomorrow and the next day and days to come, because they have sacrificed much and they have given their all. In the book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says that we are to respect those who are to be worthy of respect. And we are to honor those who are worthy of honor. We are to pay honor to our soldiers who gave their lives for this great country, the United States of America. And I will tell you very quickly this morning, and I'm thankful that they have brought that movable wall containing the names of those who died in Vietnam all the way to Palestine. But the wall that is erected in Washington, D.C. and still stands there, Audrey and I had the opportunity to go to Washington a number of years ago and trace over the names of some of those that had died. But I will tell you very quickly that they are more than just a name on a wall. People cried when they lost their loved ones. These are real people suffering real loss. Many are the tears of those who are left behind to mourn. A number of years ago, in 1921, the world was still reeling from what they called the Great War. The blood of thousands watered the rolling hills of Europe. Many came home, but many did not. Six American soldiers stood on foreign field before four flag-draped coffins. The wooden boxes contained the remains of men whose identities remain a mystery even to this very day. The lot fell to Sergeant Edward Younger of the 59th Infantry to select one casket. He laid a single white rose on that casket that was chosen, bowed his head, and walked around it three times. With a hand raised in salute, Sergeant Younger ordered the casket carried aboard the cruiser, the Olympia, for his final journey back to America. And on November the 9th in the year 1921, an honor guard removed it from the ship and took it to the Capitol Rotunda, where it laid in state for 3 days, and at 11 o'clock on November the 11th, it became a part of the Arlington National Cemetery. It is the tomb of the unknown soldier. Unknown, but known only to God. This morning we come in memory of those who gave much. At Arlington National Cemetery, the hillsides are covered with markers just like this one and these, of men who died, men who gave, and men who will live on long in the memory of those of us who are Americans. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, a number of years ago, sang a song, and in the content of that song, it says that the cost of freedom lies buried in the ground. And I can tell you most assuredly this morning that the cost of your freedom and the cost of my freedom physically lies buried in the ground. The USS Arizona monument at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii stands as a monument to those who gave as well. And we will never, ever forget. We will never forget. Memorial Day is a day for us to pay tribute and honor. As a matter of fact, there were many in times past who have come to help us appreciate what Memorial Day is all about. It was Thomas Williams Parsons who said, "On thy grave, the rain shall fall from the eyes of a mighty nation." Thomas Bailey Aldrich once said, "Death leaves a heartache no one can heal, and a love and a memory that no one can steal." And Thomas Campbell, former governor of the state of Texas, said that the patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree. And it is. It is a sad thing that many experience what we call amnesia on the day of remembrance. But do you realize that many of us will perhaps never even stop to think about what Memorial Day is all about? Many people look at it as a day for another picnic or a day at the park or perhaps maybe a family get-together or a barbecue somewhere. But Memorial Day is much, much more than our getting together. It was Patrick Henry a number of years ago who said that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is why he said, "Either give me liberty or give me death." Barack Obama made the statement, "Whatever we once were, we're no longer just a Christian nation. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. But Mr. Obama, I choose to believe that we are a Christian nation." Amen. You see, we still believe in America and the fundamentals that made this nation great. And we are being held together today not by Muslims, not by Hindus, but by the God who founded this great nation and gave it to you and gave it to me, and by the values that we read about in the Word of Almighty God. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, "He who despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who respects the commandment of God will be rewarded." We owe so many a great debt of gratitude. When I think of Memorial Day, there are a number of things that come to my mind, and I want to share some of these with you this morning. I think, first of all, about the founders of our nation. The founders of America. The faith of the founding fathers is often hidden from American view. There are a lot of politicians today that don't like to talk about the faith of our fathers, as we were singing about a moment ago. We like to talk about the non-faith of those in this country. But the faith of the founding fathers was upon the truth of the Holy Scriptures and the truth of the Word of God, and they sacrificed much for our great country. And from that First Continental Congress until now, you and I have been privileged to enjoy a great liberty in America. But there are those who would burn the Constitution. There are those who would burn the flag in protest. The two time honored symbols of our great freedom. You see, we, the people, are the rightful masters of both Congress and even the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution, that sacred document belonging to the American people. And we, the people, must stand together to uphold the freedom that God has given unto us. And yes, we owe a debt of gratitude to our founding fathers on this Memorial Day, and I hope that we will never, ever forget. Ronald Reagan said many years ago that the Constitution was never meant to prevent people from praying. But it seems as though many of those who lead us in this country now believe it is a violation of constitutional law for us to pray. Reagan said the Constitution was never meant to prevent us from praying. Its declared purpose was to protect the freedom that we have to pray. Barack Obama said, "We do not come here to fear the future. We came to change it or shape it." Well, I, for one, don't like a lot of the changes that are being made with the VA, with the health care system, with the traditional view of marriage based upon the sacredness of the eternal word of Almighty God. When I think about the shaping of America, Mr. President, I'm afraid that many of those changes that were supposed to have been for the better have not been. When the founding fathers were trying to establish our great nation, they knew it was with God's help, and they trusted God. And so should we also. You see, the framers realized a number of things, that with a firm reliance upon the protection of the divine providence of Almighty God, they said, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Ronald Reagan also said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." You think about it, folks. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for. It must be protected and handed on for them to do the same for the next generation that shall follow. So I come today to pay tribute to our founding fathers, many of them who gave their lives for the freedom that we have here in America today. And I hope you'll never, ever forget that. But we also come today to honor the defenders of our nation. We honor all branches of the United States of America military because of what they have done. A chaplain one time speaking to a soldier on a cot in Bethesda Medical Hospital said to him, "You have lost an arm," he said, "in the great cause." And the soldier said with a smile, "Sir, I didn't lose it. I gave it. And many have given. And we honor all those branches of the military today. Those fallen comrades, those fallen soldiers who may their memory never escape us. Many of those who defended the country gave their all for the freedom, not only here in America, but helped provide freedom for those around the world. When I think about Memorial Day, I think about remembrance for the dead. And as I said, Memorial Day is not just another holiday, a backyard barbecue or boating on the lake, but it's about the sacrifice of blood. That's what it's about. And many young sons and daughters have seen their fathers and mothers die for the freedom that they will appreciate even more in years to come. You see, Jesus said in John the 15th chapter and verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Peradventure that one would lay down his life for his enemies. May we always remember those who are left behind. You see, someone said that death leaves a heartache that no one can heal. And love leaves a memory that no one can steal. May we never forget those who have given so much. And how appropriate today for us to remember those who died defending our country. And for over a century, or near a century, America has been observing what we call Memorial Day. The defenders of our nation. And may they live on. But not only do we come today to pay tribute and to remember the founding fathers and the defenders of our country, but we come also to remember the defenders of our faith, of our faith. In Proverbs 10 and verse 7, the Bible says, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. And it is, isn't it? You know, there have been a lot of people through the years that have defended the faith that we have in God. And I'm thankful. I'm not sure that there are a lot of those folks around anymore in America. Oh, perhaps they are. Maybe they're unnamed. Maybe we don't know who they are. But I appreciate so many of those who have gone before us, who died as martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord, who defended my faith and my right to exercise faith in God. And again, it seems as though that right is eroding, not only in Washington, but in other places in America as well. You see, when I think about Memorial Day, I'm reminded of the fact that the living deserve thanks no less than the dead. Be thankful for those who defend the faith. Paul said, for I am set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in that book of Jude, in verse 3, only one chapter, in verse 3, he says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. And the word contend there, actually in the original language, means that you wrestle for it. And folks, I'm telling you, in America, we are having to wrestle for the faith that we have in God. When I think about the remembrance of the living, I'm reminded of an incident that took place in the life of Jesus, recorded in the book of Mark, the 14th chapter and verse 3. The Bible says, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, that is Jesus, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some there that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me, and for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me you do not always have. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial for her. You see, Jesus was paying tribute to the living. He commends Mary for her worship and for her gratitude. What prompted Mary to do what she did? It was her great love and her great heart of kindness for the Master. She wanted to do for Jesus what she could while he lived. That's the reason it's so important for us to remember our U.S. servicemen and women and those who are defending our right to faith even today. And preachers of the gospel and elders and deacons all over this world, we are standing for truth unashamedly. Isn't it better to give roses to the living instead of waiting for them to die? You see, many people wait until it's too late for others to know how much you cared. Someone said, send me all of your roses now, air pink, air white, air red. I'd rather have one blossom now than a truckload when I'm dead. A young boy walks up the hill to his home. He tells his dad and mom that he'll soon be gone. He has joined the forces to fight for what's right. Early in the morning, he will be leaving for Iraq. As he walks to the door, the image is seen of a fine young boy wearing faded blue jeans. The footprints he leaves in the dew that day because of the heat will soon fade away. The bullet found its mark, and the body is hurled. It shattered his dreams of changing the world. He takes his last breath as he hits the ground. Suddenly he's at peace before the dust settles down. A somber young man in a neat uniform walks up the hill in the early morn. The parents know that there is not any hope when he reaches and hands them the sealed envelope. The nights are the longest and hardest to bear. The body is weary, but the sleep is not there. And nothing can comfort the anguish and pain. After losing a son, it seems there's nothing to gain. But every once in a while, they get a vision, it seems, of a fine young man in faded blue jeans. The question is not, was his death justified? The answer is simply, a young man has died. How do we survive each lonely day? We talk with our Lord, and he shows us the way. To the parents here and all over the world who have lost a son or daughter. That poem was written by James Singletary. Thank you, James. You see, here at Crockett Road, we have Memorial Day every Sunday. Like the first church of the New Testament, we gather upon the first day of the week to be reminded of those who died and those who live. Many died fighting and preserving opportunities for us to meet and assemble and worship our God. Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago, providing for us the opportunity to serve and honor Him. And He has given us this great land we call America. God bless America. God bless America. You know, God doesn't draft anyone into His service. You see, the Church of the Living God, or the Army of the Lord, is an all-volunteer army. But He does invite us to enlist, all of us. And you enlist by actually surrendering your will to His and wanting Christ to rule over you, to be your leader, your commander and chief. The book of Hebrews declares Him to be the captain of our salvation. And He is. But you enlist by surrendering your will to His, by believing and obeying the gospel, by being baptized or inducted into His service or into His kingdom. And that, my friend, is what it means to become an enlistee in the army of Jesus. May we appreciate the blessing of this great country provided by our loving God. And surely, just surely, we would want to show our respect to Him by humbling ourselves to His will. This will be a happy Memorial Day for those whose children still live and serve this great country. But it'll also be a day with mixed emotions of those who lost their children, their mate, their wife, their husband, their father, their mother, for the cause of freedom. I hope we will never forget, that we will always remember what Memorial Day is all about. I'm thankful that Christ came into the world to provide my spiritual freedom that enables me to conquer the sinful things of this world, that enables me someday to go to heaven, that enables me someday to be able to live with my Lord and my Master. And I'm going to tell you, it is something that I would not sell on the altar of compromise for anything. Nothing. You may amend the Constitution of the United States, but not the Word of God. You may pass laws that are against this book, but you will never change its laws. For Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." Matthew 20:35. Peter said, "The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord abides forever." It was King David who said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." May God help each of us to rise to the occasion, to be greater stewards of the time that God has given us upon this earth, and not yield to the compromises that are trying to be made in Washington or anywhere else. But may we stand valiantly and triumphantly and courageously for the things that we know to be right. And if you're here this morning and you want to enlist in the great army of God, you may do so at this point while we stand and while we sing.